The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. I just lost my background music. I hate when that happens. That's one of my favorite songs.
It is. I know.
What's up in there, you guys? Oh my gosh.
All right.
But okay.
Keeping you on your toes.
Well, keeping me on my toes, man. Well, that won't be difficult today because we have some really incredible subjects we're going to be talking about. I have Dr. Von Engelen. Almost. He's going to be a doctor.
I will be shortly. So.
I have Dr. Dan Engel, who is the author of the book, The Concussion Repair Manual, along with a lot of other things. This guy is an absolute rock star. He's a medical doctor and is practicing psychiatrist. He's also, I'm not practicing, he is an MD. Yeah, was that how you say it? Practicing psychiatry. Mm-hmm. He's a psychiatrist, and he's board certified in psychiatry and neurology. And we're going to be talking about the big six best strategies for brain optimization. I know you'll love that, Von.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we have to optimize our brain so we can live our fullest life.
Yes, we do. You and I are going to be talking about how to avoid dating a narcissist.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I think I might be an expert in that.
You might have a story or two for me.
I might be an expert. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I don't know. Maybe not.
We're going to break this down. So, because a lot of people don't understand what it means to be a narcissist and the actual signs and, like, I guess, red flags that they should really look for. So, this is going to be a really interesting topic.
Is there different degrees of narcissism?
Yeah. You know, we're going to go through what I call the four types of narcissism. And even there's something that we call kind of like a narcissism that's socialized into us. But, you know, so, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I would think a lot of people are a little narcissists now with all the selfie stuff.
Yeah. So we are socialized into it, and that's something that is a part of our society. So
I find it so interesting, and it starts at such an early age, unfortunately.
It does. It does. You know what? And actually, I'll go into some of this right now. But narcissists are actually made. They're not born, because we're going to talk about the differences between a narcissistic person, a sociopath, and a psychopath. But narcissism, a lot of times, is trained into us, even from our parents.
Interesting.
So.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Okay. I can't wait to talk about it. But what I really can't wait to talk about is we're going to be recording the podcast after the broadcast with you today.
That's going to be some good stuff.
Gosh. And we're Von has got me convinced that we should talk about the pros and cons of polygamy. I don't think there's any pros, but we'll find out.
So we're talking about polyamorous relationships.
Well, maybe if you're a man, there's pros. I mean, who doesn't want two or three wives?
On. You know what? Women nowadays actually cheat more than men. I don't know if you know that statistic or not. But
no.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, women cheat more than men. We attribute that to, like...
Well, maybe we just...
You like to get out there.
There's a reason.
There's a reason. There is.
So, there's no good reason to ever cheat. I'm not condoning cheating, men have been doing it forever.
Polyamorous relationships. So, women have been cheating,
and gotten away with it forever.
Well, you might have me there. But here's the thing. So, women...
See?
We attribute that because women are more likely... Well, you know, back in the day, you guys weren't in the workforce. Now that you guys are in the workforce, a lot of times you have more access because, you know, a stay-at-home mom doesn't have access to all these different men. So
it's not an access thing.
It's not.
It's a loyalty thing.
Really?
If you're really in love with someone, I've said this many times, and it's so true. I mean, the best-looking guy in the room could come on to you, and you're just not interested.
So are you saying that love is all you need in a relationship?
Absolutely.
Really? Okay. How do you define love?
A lot of different things. We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Now you're getting me too deep in the water. I'm not even warmed up yet. My toes are just down.
Gotcha.
Okay. So, you know what's funny? This is so funny that when I was going through my trunk of books, you know, I put my car in X mode last night too.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it was fun. My Subaru. I would love to tell the story. Maybe I'll tell it during the narcissist segment.
I think you should.
Yeah. I pulled right up in the middle of somebody's lawn last night.
What?
Not sure if I'll share the story, but okay. They really made me mad. Anyway.
That's what we call being passive aggressive. You know.
Is it? Yeah. I thought it was just being clear.
Okay.
Direct.
Clear and direct.
Yes, clear and direct. Okay, so Cosmo's 500 Secrets About Men. Okay, ladies, listen up. Okay, did you know, and you too, Vaughn, big guy over there.
All right.
Okay, so
expert on men
this
over
is under,
here.
Yes, a mating call says a guy who is lying will often use the number 3 in his story, such
really?
As saying he had 3 drinks or went home at 3 a.m.
Really?
Have you ever heard that before?
No, I haven't. I got to use 1, 2, and 3. 3 makes it mm-hmm. really convincing whenever I tell that lie.
I wonder if men that are polygamists use the number 3 more than the ones that are heterosexual.
Well, I got to define this polyamorous relationship thing. Just because you're polyamorous does not mean that you're cheating on your partner or that you're
it's
lying
an agreed
to your
situation
right and there's a lot of trust
I was trying to make a joke and bring up the 3.
Gotcha. Well, hey, you know, 3,
well, isn't that the man's ultimate fantasy, sexual fantasy, isn't
fantasy?
For some guys
yeah, it depends, you know, you have
I won't put you on the spot.
Thank you, I appreciate that. You know, my wife, I don't know if she'll appreciate that, but you know, some guys do fantasize about that, you know, and we've talked about how there
you
are different types of sex, you know, like personal sex, impersonal sex. But yeah, some guys do, you know, mm-hmm. want it all.
I'm going to say all guys do.
All guys do?
Yeah.
That's what we call an overgeneralization.
I don't know about that.
Some guys may be agreeing with you right now on the air.
They're all shaking their head, like, every
oh,
one
yeah.
of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, I'm punchy today.
Yeah, I can sense it. I can sense it.
I've got a tiger in my tank again. Okay, so here's another one. It says men are more likely than women to interpret a friendly convo. I guess that's a conversation.
Now, this is true.
This is true.
This is true.
Yeah, it says convo. You know, but it's cosmopolitan, so they had to shorten it. You know, girls are busy.
Abbreviate.
So,
men are more likely than women to interpret a friendly convo as sexual interest.
That's
for
true.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. That's true.
Absolutely. Why is that? What is up with you guys? Can't we just talk to you and have a nice conversation without you thinking that we want to have sex with you?
Well, you know, a lot of guys, our intent, you know, is to get
all guys are like this.
Well, not all guys.
Yes, they are.
I have guys that come in my office and sex is not a big deal. The wife is like, okay, he won't have sex with me. And they're like, yeah, it's not a really big deal to me. And so sex for everybody is different. So I just want to make sure that we understand that. But however, guys are more likely to assume that you want something because a lot of guys have intent to try to get you in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because I want you to want me, you know, I'm going to interpret this like, oh, she's flirting with me. And there you go.
Well, and I also heard, my former husband, Alan, used to tell me this, that women underestimate that men are coming on to them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's just being nice. No, he's not. You know, he wants to.
So that, what kind of world do we live in?
We live in a world where people have sex, you know. I think we're all sexual beings.
Yeah.
And a lot of times guys, whenever, and, you know, again, we talked about this, how guys are socialized into those 3 things. First thing is athleticism in terms of what makes you a man and masculinity. So athleticism, second thing is usually money. But sexual conquest is really high up on our priority list. And so, you know,
here in Dallas, money's at the top of the list for a lot of these girls.
Yeah, we have a couple of people who, you know, I guess like to flaunt and stuff, but and who like to, you know, get with other guys who have money. However, though, you know, if I define myself by sex and if I can have sex with a beautiful woman, this is a trophy for me. And then because when I have sex with her, I'm not going to keep it to myself. Some people don't, I will say some people kiss and tell. Actually, majority of people kiss and tell. I say it like that because when I have sex with you and you're beautiful, I'm going to tell my friend like, oh, this is a notch on my belt.
Yeah, that's another thing that
this
they do, right?
This is a notch on my belt. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, yeah, because I got to flaunt it. I got to show you what
basically,
I got.
Well, that's why polygamy, whatever, the polyamorous.
Poly relationships.
The poly relationships. Well, yeah, we'll shorten it up. They're so desirable for so many men.
Yeah, well.
And I have to say.
Go ahead.
They talk about the Mormon church, too. So the only Mormon guy that I've ever known really, he didn't have 2 wives. Maybe he should have so he could, you know, yell at both of them. I don't know.
Okay.
He was just very overbearing.
Bossy.
I don't like it.
Polyamorous relationships, there's a high degree of trust, and they talk about things in detail. In some ways, they talk about things even more than monogamous relationships. And so just because I have multiple wives doesn't mean that, you know, so that's a polyamorous, that's kind of different than a polyamorous relationship as we would define it in our culture now. So,
well, it's going to be a good podcast after the broadcast.
Yeah, y'all should stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
That's gonna be
pretty good. Well, they're not going to stay tuned because we're going to do it off the air.
Well, check that out on the website.
For your ears only on One Life Radio. radio.com. But yeah, we put the abortion one up just a couple hours ago. We thought we were going to get it up last night.
I need to check that one out. I haven't heard that one yet.
It's a good one.
Okay.
I got very passionate in it. And I was thinking last night when I was going over it, and I do this when I go off the air a lot of times, most times really, I forgot to say in the podcast after the broadcast that the man that tried to rape me was 45 years old. Wow. I left that out. He was not a teenager. I was a teenager. Wow. He wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and that's an important piece of it, too. So we may do a second round of that.
Sounds like
it was passionate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've got an incredible show coming up today. We've got Dr. Dan Engel talking about the big six best strategies for brain optimization and Von Eaglin, how to avoid dating a narcissist. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good protein bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Lexi Brinkley, Aviana Barrientos in studio with me, Von Eaglin, and I've got Dr. Dan Engel on the line. He is a practicing psychiatrist, board certified in psychiatry and neurology. His current practice combines functional medicine with integrative psychiatry to enhance the foundations of regenerative health and peak performance training. Dr. Engel is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual. I have it here right next to me. It is a practical guide to recovering from traumatic brain injuries. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Engel here. Hi, Dr. Dan. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Bernadette.
Well,
good to be with you again.
Yeah, I love what we're talking about today, and I've got some good questions for you. I do, and so we're going to be talking about the Big Six, best strategies for brain optimization with Dr. Dan Engel. So what are the six best strategies for brain optimization that you can do at home?
Yeah, the things that are solidified in our blueprint for health, like the building blocks for health, are around movement, sleep, sunlight, breathing, sex, and what I call contrast therapies. And each of those things is free and at home, so there's less of an excuse to not engage them.
I love it. Well, so movement is number one. And so movement meaning just keeping your body moving throughout the day, what, or any particular type of movement?
Well, movement is super individual specific, and it's kind of that sweet spot in the flow system between challenge and skill set. Some people have an exorbitant amount of energy and they want to move a lot, so they may find cardio programs and high-intensity interval training programs like in their sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, if they're in a really high workflow and they need something quick to be able to like reset, then that might need to be like in a 5-minute window that they can do like in between appointments or at the office. So it's really individual specific, and I try and encourage people to do what's going to make most sense for them, but find it engaging, find it challenging, and find something that can actually reset their system.
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to the general modalities of quick resets, rebounding and jump roping has been found by NASA to be one of the most efficient forms of exercise.
I love it.
It's something that you can do for a few minutes at your office, next to your desk, and just immediately get a reset in the middle of the workday to be able to up-level neurochemistry, and that oftentimes can be more effective than even coffee.
I you may not know this about me. I'm sure you don't. I don't even know why I said that, but I used to be an Olympic quality jump roper. I never competed, but I mean, Dr. Engel, I could jump for 2 hours nonstop at a very fast rate, but I would do it during my lunch break too, and I would do it all. It doesn't take a lot of space, and I would also go off into a very meditative state when I jumped rope. And typically for me, I jumped rope an hour every single day, and I was in the most amazing shape of my life.
It's an incredible exercise, right? And so you're probably on the top 1% of jump ropers in the country. And when you were doing that and you found that meditative space, was it because it was just this repetitive motion,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It dropped you into this deeper state of like actually relaxation in your nervous system while you're still exercising. And that's really the sweet spot that we want to get people into.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I remember when I first tried, and a former brother-in-law of mine, George was his name, he was the one that really taught me how to do it better, because I kept, you know, I would trip. And at first I was terrible. I looked like the most clumsy girl on the planet. But with practice every day, going after it, you know, I started getting better. And then I just, you know, got better and better and better. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Next thing you know, I was up to an hour. But I sometimes, once in a while, just to push myself, like I said, I would jump up to 2 hours nonstop. And during that time, only have probably 3 or 4 missteps.
Wow.
And so consciousness, and so, well, and the reason why, though, I believe, is what we're talking about is the incredible deep level of consciousness that I was at when I was meditating as I was working out.
Yeah. And when you're doing something like jump rope, you're really forced to focus and to pay attention, because if you don't, you're going to trip. And if you trip, you could fall. So the system gets really present to the activity at hand. And that's also a definition of flow state. So you're super focused to the exclusion of outside input. And through that flow state, we start to see up-leveling of neurochemistry, normalization of hormone profiles, which means like if cortisol or stress hormones are high, then those start to normalize and relax.
Mm-hmm.
And the adrenal glands kick in, and then everything starts to really fall into place for this like excellent performance at hand.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was this incredible jump roper when I started with my trainer about 7 years ago, Tina Burnett, and she said, just because you can jump rope for 30 minutes or an hour, she said, doesn't mean you're in shape. She said, I'm going to kick your you-know-what, you wait and see. So the first time in the gym, so I'm not kidding you, so Dr. Dan, she just had me do like some weightlifting and things that I wasn't, you know, conditioned for, and she did kick my butt. And so it's kind of funny, you really do need a variety of exercise, and you do need to change it up, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Variety and novelty continues to keep us in that childlike curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of learning that happens anytime. And we see this for people that are elderly and moving into their later years. Those that keep some degree of novelty in their routine tend to have younger brains.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be more alive with vitality. And there's this like sparkle and this, this youth that you can see, because they're consistently learning new activities and they're consistently making new myelinated pathways, new neural networks that keep their brain youthful.
It's so interesting. It really is. It makes me want to, I don't know, do something different, or maybe pick up my, I haven't jumped rope in a very long time. Maybe I'll start jumping rope again. It's funny that we're talking about it because it is, it kept me in incredible shape. And I know breathing is on this top, on this, the big six. And I never struggled for breath when I was jumping rope.
Hmm. Wow. So that's just a great reflection of how much in shape you were,
mm-hmm.
right? And you said that you started at 5 minutes and you gradually worked up to an hour and then you gradually worked up to 2 hours. And that's the best way to go too, is to be able to, again, to find that sweet spot between skill set and challenge. And if somebody overshoots the mark and goes way into the challenge too quick, too soon, then that can be frustrating. It can also cause injury, and then oftentimes people don't come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of like finding out where our sweet spot is, going just beyond that, and pushing ourselves a little bit more each time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible, and I'm having fond memories. I think I'm going to go get a jump rope today. Okay, so now...
inspiring me too.
Okay, so number three, let's talk about sex. What about sex, and what about that being one of the best strategies for brain optimization? What's up with that?
Well, I know you guys have been talking about sex for the last 15 minutes. So it's a great dovetail into this conversation too. And physiologically, we know that sex brings online more of our nervous system and more of our hormonal system than any other activity.
Mm-hmm.
We're bonded for connection, and the deepest way to connect with another is through sex.
Right, no pun intended.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where, like, oftentimes in the busy day-to-day activities, particularly if couples have been together a long time and there's work and kids involved and there's just a whole lot of things on the quote-unquote to-do list, that it can get deprioritized.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationships that are the most healthy, the most vibrant, still have sex as a mainstay in their regular practice and in their regular, like, bonding routine and depth practice, and not just to mention like the physiologic benefits, but the emotional and mental benefits as well.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes if I'm working with clients or couples and sex is falling lower on the priority list, then I ask them to engage in a couple of things. And one is to have a set date night, or at least one date night a week, where it's just them and it's really just about them reconnecting with each other. And also to have like spontaneity in their sex.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond just the scheduled date nights or sex nights, is also to find that spontaneity that we would all engage when we were first engaging in sex. And there would be like the midday rendezvous or the bathroom sex or the back of the seat sex, you know, like something that really brings in novelty and excitement back into it, because we're bonded at that level. And it definitely brings in more of a youthful quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see people that have their hormones online and their sex online. There's just a spring in their step, and there's a vitality in the way they live their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, can you stay with us after the break for a few more minutes? Because we haven't gotten to sleep, sunlight, and cold exposure, and I think those are really important topics.
Yeah.
You can?
Happy to.
Okay, yeah. All right. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Dan Engel. You're listening to One Life Radio.
For 70 years, Capital Bearing and Hydraulics has been Dallas's number one industrial and hydraulic distributor, serving retail and commercial customers. Open 7-to-5 at their 9 locations. They're ready to help you find the quality products you need. Visit CapitalBearing.net.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor,
I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems, but today I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child, and as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Von Eaglin in studio with me and Dr. Dan Engel on the line. Dr. Dan Engel is a medical doctor and is a practicing psychiatrist, board certified in psychiatry and neurology. His current practice combines functional medicine with integrative psychiatry to enhance the foundations of regenerative health and peak performance training. Dr. Engel is the author of the Concussion Repair Manual, a practical guide to recovering from traumatic brain injuries. You can find him at Dr. Dan Engel, that's ENGLE.com. And he's also in the book by Tim Ferriss, Tribe of Mentors. And you're one of my favorite guests. I just love what we talk about. We talk about things that really matter. We really do. And it's so good to have you back. Thanks for staying with us. Dr. Engel, the big six best strategies for brain optimization. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say about sex, or do you want to go on to sleep?
I think we could talk for hours about sex.
I think we could too. So what if someone doesn't have that in their life presently and they've gone months without sex? What do you do? You don't want just jump into bed with someone just for the mere satisfaction of sex, right? Or do you?
True. It's such an individual kind of specific engagement.
Right.
There are times when it can make sense to go for a period of time without a partnership or without that like deep level of connection. For example, if somebody's in a deep spiritual practice or if they're in a deep grieving phase. There are ancient practices where if a couple has been pair bonded and unified in their primary partnership for years and years, and then one of the partners dies, then there's a cycle of the seasons where there's a grief process that just honors that partnership.
Absolutely.
And then that grieving process lets us become more available to the next partner that we're going to be calling in. And there's other practices about, like, you know, if somebody's in deep grieving, then maybe sex will help buoy up part of that, like, you know, deep despair to help them get through the process. So it's super individual specific.
And so, yeah. And then, I mean, monks are celibate for many, many years and go without sex and go, like you said, go on to deeper levels of consciousness. So let's talk about sleep. Sleep is so critical. So critical. What do you want us to know about it?
Well, sleep is where, this is again in reference to brain optimization and brain healing, but we can also just talk about it in regards to physiologic optimization and general healing. In sleep is where the system reboots and heals to its greatest degree, particularly between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
Really?
And a lot of people have a hard time with sleep, and some people have a hard time getting to sleep, others have a hard time staying asleep, and others might feel like they're getting the right like 6 to 8 hours or 7 to 9 hours of sleep, but they wake up and they're still not feeling refreshed and rejuvenated.
Mm-hmm.
So they may have a disruption in their deep sleep where most of the repair and the recuperation happens.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different strategies to support sleep. We talked about exercise and movement earlier, and a lot of people that have a hard time sleeping aren't moving enough. And some people that are having a hard time sleeping are actually moving too much. And they're pushing their system into more of a sympathetic overdrive, so their cortisol response is too late in the evening, and therefore they can't rest.
Yeah.
And another thing that people have a hard time doing with sleep is they're exposed to bright blue light too late in the evening.
Mm.
And so I'll encourage people to shut down their computer 2 hours before they go to sleep, and particularly get things like Flux on your computer, which will make it more yellow light or less blue light towards the later parts of the day, and then just having good deep sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Dark curtains, quiet environments.
Nice sheets.
And a practice of getting to sleep.
Yeah, and I think good sheets matter too. They really do make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely, so that you're comfortable.
Yeah, no, good quality like linen sheets are so they make you sleep better. They just do. But you know what I was thinking when you were talking, well, I want to talk about junk light with you. That's one of my questions that I have. Mm-hmm. But when you sleep, your body may be resting, but your brain is actually really busy, right?
Yeah, our brains are actually, in many ways, more busy during sleep, particularly REM sleep or dream sleep, than even during daytime. Like if you look at people's brainwave activities, if they're watching TV versus if they're dreaming, so many more neural networks are online when they're dreaming, and actually most people are kind of zoned out when they're watching TV or doing a lot of other daily routines.
Mm-hmm. And you said between the hours of 10 and 2, so early to bed, early to rise really is better, and then you're also following the circadian rhythm, the natural rhythms of the sun as well, right?
Right. And now you're bringing up a really good point. One is in regards to naps, right? And so famous nappers like Edison, Einstein, Churchill, Da Vinci, all these brilliant genius level intellects recognize the benefit of having a little bit of time during the midday hours, and where there's usually a drop in cortisol, usually in the early afternoon,
mm-hmm.
to reset and reboot to get back online for an afternoon of mental engagement and what would be like, you know, work, so to speak. And then the other is in regards to circadian rhythms. Many people, before we invented lights, incandescent lights, would have biphasic sleep patterns. If you do Google search for biphasic sleep patterns, it's just the natural tendency that many people actually have to wake up in the middle of the night. And before there was light, people would wake up, maybe do something around the house, visit with a neighbor for an hour or two, and then go back to sleep and get another 3 to 4 hours. So if some people just have that predilection,
mm-hmm.
I just encourage them to follow that natural rhythm and natural routine. If you actually have a lot of people in caves and you look at their circadian rhythms, many people naturally will just go to a biphasic sleep pattern.
Hmm.
So we might be trying to like artificially make it convenient between these 8 hours of like 10 and 6. But if some people have that predilection towards waking up and they're just so frustrated they can't get back to sleep, I just say, great, keep the lights low, do something, and then wait till you're sleepy again, and then go back to sleep. And oftentimes people, if that is more natural for them, then they'll structure their lives around it and mm-hmm. actually get much more quality sleep.
Yeah, and it's so important. Well, and which leads me to one of my questions. You know, what's junk light? I've read that junk light is as bad for us as junk food. Is that true?
It's true to the extent that if junk light is preventing us from getting deep, restful sleep, then we're not going to be resting, recuperating, and rejuvenating when we need it the most. So the junk light is typically, I think of it in two different ways. One is this excess blue light exposure, and that's mostly from screen time, because most computer screens have way too much blue light. So if you get something like Flux, which is an app that you can download to your phone or to your computer, then that moderates the blue light exposure depending on the hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So less blue light, and it looks a little yellow, so some people don't like it. I can tell right away if somebody has Flux on their computer because it looks more blue than it does mm-hmm. yellow. And that excess exposure stimulates the brain, and it puts it into this like hyperactive state, so it's super hard to transition and get back to rest.
Wow. Well, I could listen to you talk all day. I really could. Let's move on to sunlight and cold exposure because we only have about two more minutes.
Great. Sunlight, if I'm looking at people's labs, greater than 80% have very deficient vitamin D. And vitamin D is protective against 60 plus different forms of cancer. It's a pro-hormone. It drives thyroid production, et cetera. It's so important. And we are, just like every other life form on the planet, responsive to light. So I encourage people to get as much sunlight that they feel comfortable, not to the extent that they're getting sunburned, but at minimum 10 to 15 minutes, as much skin exposed on each side. And if they can't do that, maybe they can sun gaze first thing in the morning to really greet the day, or sun gaze the last few minutes of the day,
mm-hmm.
just to get that kind of like retinal exposure, because it helps to support melatonin and circadian rhythms, and then everything falls in line. If your circadian rhythm's off, then the whole body's confused about when it's supposed to be awake or not.
Yeah.
And then in regards to cold exposure is something that we could just spend an entire episode on.
Really?
Because it's such a fascinating science, and we're learning more and more about the pro-hormone and pro-brain benefits of cold exposure.
Mm-hmm.
It builds new synaptic connections. It increases circulation and oxygenation. It increases brain metabolism, and it's also neuroprotective against things like concussion and traumatic brain injury.
Mm.
So there's a variety of different ways to get cold exposed. Cryotherapy is becoming more and more apparent and available, and there's more places to mm-hmm. do this where you get frozen at like minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I've done it before. I'm sure. I know
oh,
you have
great.
Too.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so those are the brain benefits, and then there's just a massive amount of other just general physiologic benefits too.
Well, let me ask you this: are there benefits to a brain freeze?
Well, they've shown that actually it's protective against traumatic brain injury, and then after somebody has had a stroke or a concussion, it's actually supportive in recovering full healing afterwards. Now, there's a few different kind of like novel devices. You can actually wear this like freeze cap that some people do. If people are getting into cryotherapy, I just say turn on the cold shower and get it as cold as you can and stay in there for 3 minutes.
Well, you know what I did? This will make you laugh. So I will make everybody laugh. So I was getting ready this morning and I showered and I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was going to do the 30 seconds of cold water at the end. So I turned the shower back on and just forced myself. But of course, here in Texas right now, the water's not that cold because, you know, it's pretty hot in Texas. As you know, I think you live in Austin, don't you?
I was living in Austin a couple of years ago,
yeah.
and these days I'm in Boulder.
Okay, well, those are two great locations, so I jumped back in the shower, and it wasn't as cold as it should have been, but I have to say it was very refreshing.
Yeah, it's one of the best reboots. It's better than any kind of coffee or espresso.
Hmm.
It wakes me up. It gets me super excited. It's cold. It's not the most comfortable experience. But afterwards, I feel so alive and so rejuvenated, and anybody can do it at home for free, or, you know, just start with an ice cold washcloth on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
That will also wake you up because we have a lot of thermoreceptors on the back of the neck and in the back of the scalp.
Well, there's definitely something to it because I do feel a little, I just feel, you know, more alive. And I don't know if, I think that might have something to do with it, seriously.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I love all the information that we talked about today. DrDanEngel.com is where you can find Dr. Engel. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Bernadette. Look forward to the next time.
All right, me too. Take care.
Okay.
All right, everyone.
Bye-bye.
We've got Vaughn England coming up. How to avoid dating a narcissist. You're listening to One Life Radio. Somebody's calling.
Somebody turns the corner out of sight, looking for somebody.
Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of HM Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from HM Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try HM Company products. Search HM Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's HM Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. What a great song pick. Oh,
That's great.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette. I'm here with Diamond Gray, Von Eaglin, Avi, and Lexi. Before we get into this, and I want to add, we're going to continue what we don't get to today about narcissism. We're actually going to record two podcasts after the broadcast.
Okay.
A shorter one to finish up this, and then our second one on polygamy. But I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors that bring this great programming to you. Great companies like Sun Warrior. Get Sun Warrior at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powder and supplements. And Von Eaglin is the one that told me about Sun Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, 4 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I thank you for that, because they are an incredible sponsor, and they've been with us for a long time. And I love the company. I love being part of the Sun Warrior tribe. I really do. And, of course, the HM Company. Use the code OLR for 20% off your first order, made only with premium hemp cannabinoid genetics, not hemp used for seeds, rope, or protein. It is tested by third parties to ensure no pesticides, solvents, or any other contaminants. And that is getting more and more important, for sure, that you watch what's in your food, especially after all the exposure of glyphosate and the recent lawsuit where Dwayne Johnson was awarded $289 million. And there's like 5,000 more lawsuits following right along. And there's going to be more and more, too. So everyone, keep your reading your labels. Read them, and read as much as you can. Sunlight and Infrared Saunas is a place for me to heal, a place place to reflect and to invest in myself. I absolutely love my Sunlight and Sauna. I was in it. I go in it almost every day now. It's rare that I miss a day, but check it out. You can find them at, I keep forgetting the name of that.
Nebraska Furniture Mart.
There you go. Why do I keep forgetting that? But it's Nebraska Furniture Mart. I have like a brain block. I don't know. But Paleo Magazine as well. Visit them at paleomagonline.com to find a store near you and pick up a copy. And of course, the Well-Being Journal is heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. The Well-Being Journal is now available both in print and digital version. So order online at wellbeingjournal.com. Okay. And so I can't wait to talk about this with you. I'm gonna be a little bit on the DL because, you know, I don't want to, you know, share too much. But I do feel like I have a lot of experience with this type of person. And we're talking about how to avoid dating a narcissist.
So
Von Eaglin, I love this guy. He is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He is also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men and groups, and you can find him at wefixbrains.com. Okay, so what percentage of people truly are real narcissists?
Well, the DSM-5, which is our diagnostician manual, usually categorizes about maybe half to maybe 1% of the population as narcissists. However, I tend to believe it's a lot higher, like closer to like 10-15%. So if you're in a room with like maybe like 20 people, I'm going to wager to say at least maybe two of those people are narcissists in the room. So
out of how many?
Maybe at least two of those people.
Of
you
the
know.
10?
Yeah, of the 20. You
oh,
know?
20.
So, and it does.
Okay.
It does kind of depend what kind of room you're in. If you're in a room with like high-powered lawyers or like bankers, you're probably going to see a higher percentage of people who are narcissistic as opposed to, you know, you're at a community environment, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that.
So. Well, and I'm thinking of a room of mixed people. And so my brain automatically went to this question and not in a sexist way.
Okay.
But are more men narcissists than women?
You know, I like what you're asking about, because the answer to that is yes, but we're socialized into being narcissistic. Now, women are catching up. I will say that. But women are catching up in terms of like narcissism, personality disorder. Mm-hmm. However, I'm probably going to say maybe like 80-20, because the thing about it is that men, we're measured by our achievements, you know, our title, perhaps our acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we have a greater vulnerability to being a narcissist. And, you know, even furthermore than that, society typically tolerates, even applauds us whenever we're narcissistic. So if you look at a lot of the professional athletes, if you look at people who in media and entertainment, a lot of times we're applauded for, hey, look at me. So
makes me think of Muhammad Ali.
There you go. Well, you know.
But I don't think he was a narcissist.
I don't think Muhammad Ali was a narcissist.
I think he was just great at promoting himself.
He was great at promoting. But whenever you see someone who's narcissistic, a lot of times they lack having empathy for other people. So they tend to have a sense of entitlement, like, look at me. I'm supposed to have superior treatment than other people, and they have an exaggerated like feeling of self-importance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because there's this like kind of like this distorted superiority. So mm-hmm. I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. They tend to be, you know, have some contemptuous interactions with people because other people are beneath them. So
sounds familiar.
So you may know somebody like that. So you may know somebody like that.
Okay. So. So what is narcissism?
So we tend to look at narcissism. There's a long-term pattern of behavior with the whole sense of entitlement, with the superior treatment to other people. Sometimes they even want obedience from other people. And there again, there's arrogance, there's this distorted sense of superiority, but there's an excessive need for admiration. So I need for you to applaud how great I am. And again, there's lack of empathy for other people. So they spend a lot of time talking about, you know, what they have acquired, their achievement, their power, their success, because they're also fantasizing. It's like a grandiose thought. So they're fantasizing about how to achieve power, how to achieve success, how to achieve attractiveness. So I see some guys in the weight room, you know, I'm like, this guy's a narcissist, because you look at some bodybuilders, you have to be that obsessive mm-hmm. with your attractiveness. And there's some narcissistic tendencies mm-hmm. inside of that. However, go ahead.
I'm thinking of just a few narcissists that have crossed my path.
Yeah.
And I think that I was going to ask you what it is at the root of it, but I think I know, and it's insecurity at the end of the day,
well,
right?
Well, you see, narcissistic traits are, they're born, not made. A lot of times we were talking about like parents a little bit earlier. And sometimes whenever we talk about parents, parents have this tendency to sometimes like overindulge certain aspects of their child and then underindulge other parts of their mm-hmm. child. So what that means is that they will overindulge the child's achievements. Sometimes their attention to those achievements, like for instance,
even their looks.
Right, right. So I'll say it like this. Let's say your child goes out, you know, they play soccer, and all of a sudden you start taking pictures of them and you post them all over Instagram. However, when your child comes to you and they say, hey, mom, I'm sad about something, you don't even pay attention to them. So the child is now learning that, you know what, only these things on the exterior are the things that are really important. And so the child, you don't do anything to cultivate the inner world of the child.
That's interesting.
And children, they imitate their parents a lot of times because, you know, if let's say you go into the restaurant and you say, I don't need to wait for a table. I'm really important. You need to get me a table right now. Well, the child is learning this behavior that, I'm special, I'm important, I don't need to wait for anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of times parents, sometimes unintentionally, will kind of create this narcissism, you know, these narcissistic
create
traits.
A monster?
Yeah. For their, you got a lot of kids with this, you know, self-entitlement mm-hmm. thing kind of going on. But a lot of times parents do, sometimes unintentionally, create a kid with a lot of narcissistic traits. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that we value boys more than girls.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, seriously. I could give some examples recently in my memory of things that provoke that thought, but we do. And I'm going to call mothers out here for turning their little boys into spoiled rotten brats.
Turning the boys into little narcissistic guys running around here. Okay.
My mother didn't make my brothers do housework.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what. So there are different types of narcissism.
What's up with that?
Well, there are different types of narcissism. I want to explain this to you because, you know, maybe some of the moms out here really need to hear this. But, you know, you have your typical type of narcissist. You know, they tend to be kind of grandiose in the thought pattern. They tend to do, you know, things that what you would call a typical narcissist do. So look at me. They're egocentric, arrogant, all that kind of stuff. Oh, it sounds like we need to go. But
we're going to
continue
this.
On the podcast, we're going to talk about the other types of a narcissist, we call acquired narcissism as well. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk all about it. I've got like at least 5 more questions for you.
Okay.
We'll put it up probably today or in the morning. But yeah, we're gonna record it. So
awesome.
Continue listening on the podcast after the broadcast as well. We're gonna be talking about the pros and cons of polygamy and what would we call it? Polyamorous relationships. there you go. On the podcast after the broadcast. Look forward at OneLifeRadio.com. Always love doing the show with you, Vaughn. Thank you so much. Everyone, thank you for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.